Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. This is, on a Thursday, the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio and Fox Sports Radio. I'm doing old-time radio today. I'm in a radio studio that I am told Casey Kasem used to do his shows in. Rush Limbaugh did shows in. Romy started his radio career in. The iHeartRadio, the premier network. Hub, just off Ventura Boulevard. It's great to be here. Tonight, game 6 NBA Finals. I like Toronto big. Want to start the show with this. It is hard when you're a family, forget an individual, but when you're trying to corral a family, coach a family, it's hard enough to individually get over grieving. But if you're trying to coach 12, 15, 18 professionals to simultaneously get over grieving, it's virtually impossible. It is why I like Toronto tonight big. More focused, more energized, healthier, no emotional distractions. I don't think you can ask Golden State, with the KD injury and how it transpired, to walk on stage tonight for 3.5 hours while they're grieving as a family and perform at the highest level. Steve Kerr talked about it. Steve Kerr's still talking about it. Steve Kerr talked about KD's injury yesterday.
Kevin checked all the boxes, and he was cleared to play by everybody involved. Now, would we go back and do it over again? Damn right. But that's easy to say after the results. When we gathered all the information, our feeling was the worst thing that could happen would be a re-injury of the calf. I don't know what else to add to that other than had we known that this was a possibility, that this was even in the realm of possibility, there's no way we ever would have allowed Kevin to come back.
I'm not here to point fingers. It happens. But this is a different team with Kevin Durant. They scored 34 points in the first quarter on the road with him, 44 points in the entire second half without him. They shot 57% with him. They shot 42% without him. Golden State is frankly too small without KD and Kayvon Looney tonight. 6'11 and a half, 6'9. They got no chance. Tonight's a blowout Raptors win. Golden State will look small, exhausted, and outmanned. My only concern is, do the Raptors get tight if it's close? I think Nick Nurse knows that. I think they want a comfortable lead late. Because if it's close, all bets are off. Teams that haven't won titles tend to be tight before they win their first. And I also think, and I don't think this is exaggeration, the Warriors dynasty, I think it ends tonight. It lasted 5 years. You got 5 finals. You won 3 titles. This is about how long they last. Bogut's retiring. Boogie's not coming back. KD won't play next year. Sean Livingston probably quits basketball. A lot of size, a lot of length, leaving Oracle. They're going to look a lot like the Portland Trail Blazers, but a better version. A dynamic coach, backcourt, 2 great guards, and then not enough size and not enough scoring in the front court. NBA dynasties, 5 years is generally the norm. What about the Spurs? What about them? 3 titles, 5 years, Tim Duncan's prime. Then they didn't win for another 6. All these dynasties have an expiration date. Players get old, injured, and tired of each other. That's what it really is. The 3 tiers in the NBA that end a dynasty. Age, injuries, and bickering. 5 years, 5 finals, 3 titles. This is how it ends. Outside of New England, same thing in the NFL. Troy Aikman, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Steelers. Yeah, it's 5-6 year runs. Even New England's dynasty had a 10-year gap between titles in the middle. Great early, great now. And it's running out. So I don't think it's an exaggeration. I don't think it's hyperbolic. I don't think it's over the top. Kevin Durant probably leaving, if not won't play. Woj said yesterday he does not believe the injury changes anything. The Knicks still want him. He still wants New York. The last thing he's going to do is opt in for 1 year. That would be the riskiest thing to do financially, and frankly, he's not playing next year. KD's out for the year. So I think tonight's the end of a dynasty. It's been great. Suck it up when you can. The new arena will be fantastic, and you'll be a very good basketball team. But what you're going to see tonight is a team that is long, focused, healthy, and I like the Raptors comfortably. All right, let me shift to this. By the way, props to whoever brought me an egg sandwich this morning with bacon on a biscuit. Don't eat that much for breakfast. Fantastic. So I'm reading the headline on this. Lakers trade rumors. Pelicans want Kyle Kuzma, also included in the Anthony Davis package. And all I saw yesterday, all over the internet. Yeah, just do it. Get it done. Yeah. I mean, he's just an end table and a big furniture shuffle. No. He's a 19-point-a-game 23-year-old. You just don't throw in Kyle Kuzma. It's real simple. It's basic math. The four best teams in the league last year, Golden State, Milwaukee, Toronto, and Houston, averaged about 116 points. LeBron plus AD gets you 55. Where are you getting the other 66? How are you going to cobble together if you give up Ingram, Lonzo, and Kuzma? Where are the points coming from? You got to drive to the arena every night with 70 points. LeBron 25. 26, AD 26, Kuzma 20, you got 71, 72 points. Grocery stores can't restock 90% of the shelves every morning. Do you have fresh produce daily? Yeah. Do you have fresh baked goods daily? Yeah. But you got to have 75% of the store when you open the doors in the shelves. You start throwing in Kyle Kuzma, a 23-year-old who averaged 19 a game for a dysfunctional team that lost the two big distributors, LeBron and Lonzo. So take Kuzma out, put him with the Pelicans. Here would be the Pelicans roster after the trade. Lonzo, Zion, Kuzma, Jrue Holiday, Brandon Ingram. That's better than LeBron AD, the team getting the star. Plus, they want the number four pick. Don't give up the farm or you become the Knicks. When they got Melo, he got nothing around him. Just a $10 million chandelier in an empty house. I also saw a story where the Celtics are also in talks for Anthony Davis. Oh, please. I don't buy that for a second. That's Danny Ainge simply driving up the price for the Lakers. Celtics aren't going to take him. Danny Ainge is not giving up pieces for Anthony Davis, who's a one-year rental. In fact, Rich Paul, Anthony Davis' agent, has said publicly he's not re-signing there. Danny Ainge isn't going to. Why is this story out? Danny Ainge keeps secrets really well. Suddenly this story is all over the papers, all over the internet. You don't get anything out of Danny Ainge. Suddenly now, it's just leaking. Why? He wants the Lakers to read it and give away more to get Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has said, I'm playing for two people, Knicks, Lakers, preferably Lakers. By the way, the Pelicans are also leaking this. Why? Because they know Laker chemistry took a hit last year when all the young kids read their name in the papers on the internet, they're getting traded. So what are they doing again? Putting all the Laker players out there, leaking the story, putting their names out. So if the trade isn't consummated in the next week or two, Lakers have a massive chemistry issue going into next year, and they know it. So Ainge is leaking, the Pelicans, David Griffin, they're all leaking this because they know the Lakers have all the leverage. They don't have to give away anything. Here's Lonzo. Here's Brandon. Here's a four pick. Bye. Give us Anthony Davis. People leak stuff when they're trying to regain or gain leverage. Danny Ainge is leaking stuff because he's got no leverage here. He wants to punish the Lakers. He said before, I could never work for that team. David Griffin's got no leverage. He's leaking stuff. trying to get leverage. Boy, you better make this deal. They're throwing all those young Laker players out there to read it again. David Griffin and Danny Ainge, this is all about trying to gain footing, hurt the Lakers. Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, and a four pick is enough. This idea you just throw in Kyle Kuzma. He's 20 points a night. He's 23. He doesn't get hurt much. You don't just throw that in. That's not a throw in. That's a starter in the NBA averaging 19, 20. How many guys in the league average 19 plus? It's math. It's the grocery store analogy. When you walk into a grocery store and open the door as a general manager, 75-80% of the shelves got to be stocked. You can't restock the store every day. You can't restock it every day. Fresh bread? Yeah. Fresh produce? Yeah. Fresh dairy? Yeah. Rest of the stuff's got to be perishables, got to be on the shelves. When you drive to an NBA arena every night, you got to have 75 points in the bank. You, Golden State knows when Kevin Durant giving you 28, Steph 24, Klay 19, Draymond 16. I got 81 points driving to the arena. Iggy gives me 20, we win by 15. You got to have stuff in the bank. So, Rob Pelinka, don't buy the Celtics stuff. It's nonsense. Don't trust the Pelicans. They're just gassing everybody up to make your chemistry worse. Don't buy that. Stand firm. Never, ever negotiate against yourself. It is a bad way to operate.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
A lot of radio stars worked in this place. I'm in a private, covert, military-level location in a back room somewhere. I just had an egg sandwich that was remarkable, and it is great to be here. Don't forget, I'm not on FS1 the next couple of days, but U.S. Open starts in about 2.5 hours. That's tomorrow. When is a coverage start on Fox Sports 1 today for the U.S. Open?
I believe in a few minutes it starts.
I
think 9:30
is
Pacific.
Is that what's knocking me off today on FS1? Is that it?
If it wasn't that, it would have been soccer. But
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the U.S. Open this weekend is going to be absolutely crazy good this weekend. By the way, go further than ever with the Discover at Miles card. 35,000 miles become 70,000. They match automatically the miles you earn at the end of your first year. Discover.com/travel. So everybody's trying to guess where all these guys go. Some of us have sources. Some of us don't. And there's a lot of speculation on where guys go. And, you know, Kevin Durant's injury, you know, could be the X factor in Houston this summer. Do they believe their window's extending? They don't have to make as many moves because Golden State will just be Steph, Klay, and Draymond. Boogie's going to be gone. Livingston retires. Iggy may retire. KD's not playing and could leave. So no KD equals, obviously, much more league parity. Prime example, next year Vegas has 8 teams at 12-1 odds or better to win. This year, or this past year, was half that, only 4. So it's interesting to what Vegas is telling you. Vegas has to make, they have to make bets on this, right? So, and they can't get burned. So the one thing Vegas knows, we know, and everybody knows, Kyrie Irving is a strong, strong lean to Brooklyn. That, of all the rumors, is the most formidable and, I believe, the truest. And Vegas knows that. I know that. I've been told that by two current NBA players. Kyrie Irving to Brooklyn, 75% lock. So knowing that, what is Vegas? What are the Vegas odds? So the Vegas odds have the Warriors as favorites, but not as overwhelming favorites, meaning KD won't be there. Now you could say, Colin, of course he's hurt, he won't. Ah, but the Knicks now have the 9th best odds to win the championship, meaning Vegas is telling you Kevin Durant is going to the Knicks. They won't be a championship team, but they will be interesting. The Lakers now in Vegas behind the Warriors as the number 2 pick to win the championship. What does that tell you? They're landing Anthony Davis and probably keeping either Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma. The Bucks are the 3rd choice by Vegas, meaning they're young and keeping everybody and still maintain their edge. The Clippers now move to 4th, telling you obviously they're getting Kawhi Leonard. Vegas has the Celtics at 5th, meaning with or without Kyrie, They're on the outside looking in for a championship, but still elite. The Raptors, if they win tonight, and I think they will, would only be the sixth best team in the league according to Vegas next year, meaning they're losing Kawhi, but they are hedging their bet a little because they think he may lean Clippers, but hasn't made up his mind yet. The Rockets are seventh, which is about what they should be given Chris Paul's current physical state. The Sixers are eighth in Vegas, meaning they keep Jimmy Butler. The Knicks ninth, meaning they add KD. And then it's a bunch of good teams, Nuggets, Thunder, Blazers, Jazz, that, you know, not title teams, but good. The Nets, by the way, the Vegas is also telling you they have the Nets as the 13th, kind of tied for 12th or 13th best chance to win a championship, knowing they're getting Kyrie, because everybody knows that. What does that tell you? Vegas and me don't think much of Kyrie when it comes to winning basketball games. He's no better than D'Angelo Hall in terms of producing W's. He's just a more talented D'Angelo Hall. By the way, the Pelicans, the power of Zion, and adding several Lakers in a trade improved the most in Vegas. Their odds improved more than any other team. That's losing AD. Tells you they think Vegas, Zion, Drew Holiday, and two or three Lakers. So that's what Vegas tells you. KD's going to be a Knick. Anthony Davis going to be a Laker. Kawhi going to be a Clipper. Jimmy Butler staying with the Sixers. Knicks getting KD. Nets have Kyrie, and it won't matter much. In fact, the most improved team, Zion and a few Lakers, losing AD to the Pelicans. Eight teams, 12-1 odds or better, double this current NBA season. Parity's never really worked in the NBA because it is a star-driven league.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Chris Haynes is now joining us, NBA insider for Yahoo Sports, covered LeBron and the Cavs at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Warriors for ESPN, and now he's joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Yesterday, Steve Kerr came out and said, Chris, you know, we're devastated. You know, we were talking about this as a staff this morning. A lot of people die every year on Mount Everest. They know the risk. They don't know the outcome. They think it's going to be a good outcome, or they wouldn't scale it. KD's a grown man. KD's going to play if KD wants to play. I know we're going to blame everybody, but Kevin Durant's a man. He is a brand. And if he would have played and they would have won that game and he didn't get hurt, it would have cemented his legacy forever. And this time it went belly up. Do you still sense there's this finger pointing at the Warriors on this?
Yeah. I do, Colin, because, you know, look at Klay Thompson desperately tried to play and was campaigning to get on the floor for game three. The Warriors wouldn't let him. They wouldn't clear him. And so I understand what you're saying, but I really do feel that, you know, this was all up to the Warriors and their doctors, and they gave him the green light to go. Obviously, he wanted to go. He's a player. You know, there's a tremendous amount of pressure and stress that's been going on, and I touched on that in my story for Yahoo Sports. After that, after his devastating injury, they cleared him. Ultimately, he wasn't ready. He was nowhere close to 100%, but they felt like if he got to a certain percentage recovery-wise, that they felt like he can give it a go. And Steve Kerr touched on it yesterday that the worst they felt that could have came from it is that he re-injured his calf. Well, the worst possible scenario occurred, and I think there's room, then it's right to have some finger point because there's still a lot of questions that are left unanswered.
But we love the flu game for MJ. We love Kirk Gibson hobbling to the plate. We love Tiger Woods pushing himself ill-advised for 6 years into tournaments. These are Curt Schilling bloody sock. We love these moments. These are iconic moments. Willis Reed. Listen, finally one didn't work. Like, isn't this what makes sports, is that you play hurt, you play. In the NFL, it's not even called playing hurt. It's called playing because everybody's hurt. Isn't that part of sports?
That's part of sports, and you're right. We do love those moments, those heroic moments when people are coming back from an injury and trying to give it all they have. But, you know, one thing that we don't love, well, I say some fans and, you know, media don't love, is that we don't love when a player sits out and try to protect himself, a la Kawhi Leonard and what he went through with the Spurs. Sat out, during the postseason, didn't get bats. And I think you can look at his situation now and kind of understand why he did take that path. And at the end of the day, Colin, we can talk about these moments, but, you know, they're still human beings. I mean, the guy played 11 minutes, and if 11 minutes, he's losing a whole season. Based off of the pressure and people saying, you know, is he really this hurt? Can he really get out there? So at the end of the day, I look beyond sports in this, and I look beyond the moments and historical context of a flu game, because even with Michael Jordan, the flu, that's not as significant as what Kevin Durant endured. He's going to lose an entire season of his prime in his 30s, all due to the fact that pressure from wherever it was coming from, internally, externally, he's going to lose the entire season to get back on the court to try to prove that he can help the team and try to prove that, you know, he wasn't as hurt as he was or whatever the case may be. So it's a difficult situation. That's why I'm saying that I still think there's blame to go around.
I think the dynasty ends tonight, and I don't think I'm being too hyper. They're not re-signing Boogie. Bogut's retiring. Livingston may too. And Kevin Durant won't play and probably leaves. They're just losing size. They're going to look a lot more like Portland. And dynasties last about 5 years in this league. People get old, injured, and tired of each other. I feel Toronto wins handsomely tonight. And I'm okay saying Golden State will be really good. But I do think, quote, the dynasty ends tonight. Your thoughts?
That could be the case, Colin. It depends, though. Like, I think, you know, without KD, they fall into the pack. When I mean fall into the pack, they fall into the higher echelon teams out there. They're still a championship contending team, but they're not, you know, when we think of the pecking order, we think of Golden State and we think of everybody else. So if they can get to the finals again next year, I think will be the sixth straight year if that happens, I think you could still continue to call them a dynasty because they got there. But definitely, they're not, you know, what the owner used to say. What was the owner said? Light years ahead of everybody else. They're not in that situation anymore, and they're just one of the top teams in the league. And so, if they can, you know, advance to the finals again, I would still consider them a dynasty team, even if they fall. But definitely, you know, they're vulnerable, and they'll be vulnerable, you know, as they've ever been during the championship run.
I'm looking at the Vegas odds this morning, and they have the Lakers number two in the league, which tells you Vegas thinks they're getting Anthony Davis. It's 7 days until the draft. You'd rather get the deal consummated before the draft, because if you use your own number four pick, you may draft somebody the Pelicans don't like. Mm-hmm. I feel like this thing's going to get – I feel like Toronto wins tonight, and then the Lakers and Pelicans, out of respect to the league – you know, they'll give it 24 hours, then they'll consummate the deal Friday afternoon. I think it's getting done soon. Your thoughts?
No, I thought that. I think I came on your show last week and said that as well, Colin. You know, you think about all that, you know, the dynamics of how everything shaped out and happened in January and February. And then, you know, David Griffin, he's new at the helm. He wants to create a positive environment around that franchise head. You know, Anthony Davis doesn't want to be there. So you want to make sure that, you know, when they draft Zion Williamson, they don't want any lingering negative effects, that's still going on with the AD situation to still be in-house. They want to present him with the best positive infrastructure franchise, you know, in the league. And so that's why I think he has a very good chance of this thing consummating pretty quickly. Because another thing, too, David Griffin, I was told he's been – given the reins to do whatever he feels is best for this franchise, even if it does mean trading him to the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, he doesn't have any ill will or ill feelings tied to what happened 4 or 5 months ago. You know, he wasn't a part of the franchise. So he's going to do what is best for the organization to move on and put Zion Williamson in the best possible situation to succeed. So, no, I would tend to agree with you, but I think it can happen rather quickly.
Kyrie to Brooklyn feels like the only guarantee today. AD to the Lakers feels like number one or two. Do you feel Kawhi? How do you feel this morning about Kawhi and his choices?
Oh, I don't know, Colin. If you would have asked me this before the finals, I would have said I still think Kawhi is leaving. But I don't know. I don't know how to feel. I'm kind of just everything that's going on with the Toronto Raptors and how they handled his situation. They built trust. it's hard for me to see him leaving. But, you know, I talked to my coworker in Surat Singh, you know, who works with me at Yahoo, covers the Raptors up there. And she told me, you know, she can see a scenario to where Kawhi, even if he wins the finals, she could still see him leaving because he's given the Raptors all that they could ever ask for. Like, how can he be mad at that? That gives him free reign to leave. And I never looked at it like that. And so I'm a little bit more conflicted on what I think is going to happen with him. I still think that the ultimate destination is L.A., but just what the Raptors have been through and how much they've invested in him and how much they just handle his injury throughout the course of the season, I just think they really have to consider that.
Chris Haynes, good talking to you, bud.
Take care, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I'm doing my show today in a radio studio, which takes me back to the old days, back to Tampa and Portland when I was just America's beloved radio icon. Now, you know, I'm TV and handsome and stuff. But this is where Casey Kasem did his show, Rush Limbaugh did his show from here. And I can sense the ghost of Casey Kasem. Very fired up. Seacrest has done shows from here. Seacrest out. Very exciting. So I'm reading a story, Sports Illustrated. They used to be a big deal, not so much. But regardless, the Kingmaker, why Rich Paul will own the NBA summer. And there's a picture of Rich Paul on the cover of SI. And he's an agent. He's an agent. And nobody likes this. I text Rich Paul last night. I'd love to get him on the show today. I text him today. What Rich Paul is what many agents aren't. Honest. Here's a quote that doesn't play well with people around the NBA, but it's refreshingly and remarkably honest. He goes, the Celtics can trade for Anthony Davis, but it'll be for a year. I mean, we can go there. He said, we'll abide by our contractual obligations, and we would go into free agency in 2020. I've stated that to them. But in the event that Danny Ainge decides to, make the deal, that's fine. You want to give away assets? That's fine. But don't blame Rich Paul. He's incredibly honest. He is LeBron's friend, met years ago, and he's become an agent. And LeBron was his first client, but now he's got a stable of really good players. He also says about the Lakers, quote, LeBron's 34 years old. Anthony Davis is 26. So when LeBron's done playing, the Anthony Davis trade's still rolling. What's a better place to do it from? L.A.? If it's L.A.? I never said L.A. No negative to that, though. Who gives a blank? What you're talking about? About me trying to help LeBron out? No, I'm not. But I'm trying to help Anthony Davis out. Now, if helping Anthony helps LeBron in the long run, so be it. But my goal's Anthony Davis. Again, Rich Paul came out and said he doesn't want to be in New Orleans. Everybody freaked out. Rich Paul's saying Anthony Davis wants to be in L.A., people are uncomfortable. Rich Paul saying Boston isn't really going to get him long term, and nobody likes this. I would rather have bad news up front. People always thought Simon Cowell was mean on American Idol. I'm like, instead of wasting the next 9 years in lounges, Simon Cowell's like, nah, you're not really a professional singer. You know, you could do bad lounges, but you're never going to make any money. He just saved you a decade of time. Go get a real job. You're not going to make it. You're not Whitney Houston. And I think Rich Paul has no filter. Maybe that's why I like him. And I think you just have to understand that basketball players are international soccer players. And player movement in AAU basketball, college basketball, and the NBA has always been controlled by agents and shoe companies. Sometimes and, sometimes or shoe companies. And the basketball stars are commodities. And 99% of them you can spot by the time they're 17 years old. That's why 95% of the stars in the NBA got picked in the top 15 picks in the first round. Whereas half the NFL, Hall of Famers, half the league is undrafted. You don't spot it. Slow developers. Guys don't get great until they're 27. I mean, Tom Brady's so much better now than he was in his physical prime. So on average, if you go back 40 years, I've done this before because I have no life. The NBA draft, on average, gives you 3 all-stars. That's it. And those guys become corporations. In the NFL, it gives you multiple Pro Bowlers a year. In fact, in just 1 year, The San Diego Chargers got Antonio Gates, a Hall of Fame tight end talent, and Chris Thielman, a Pro Bowler, four times offensive lineman. In one draft, they got both undrafted. They didn't draft them. Unrestricted free agents. That doesn't happen in the NBA. Two guys don't get drafted. One's a Hall of Famer. One's a Pro Bowler. Same draft. So people are freaking out in the NBA because Rich Paul is LeBron's buddy. And the old guard doesn't like it. But the old guard feels like, you know, we're kind of losing control. Here's the thing. The old guard is rich too. And they're only rich because this has been a players' league since the 70s. And it's made everybody rich. Now, the old guys that are rich are losing some control, but they're still rich. The young guys are getting richer than ever and have more control than ever. But that's the business model of the NBA. That is not the business model of hockey, football, baseball. The business model of the NBA, which has made everybody in the league rich, is star-driven. Now, as time has evolved, the players now are getting richer and have more control. Their buddies are now agents. But that was just kind of the natural progression if you looked at any business. So if a business is employee empowered, and not many businesses are, the bosses have the power. But if a business is employee powered, over time, they'll get more power. I mean, couldn't you say over the last 100 years, corporations have more power than ever over employees? Yes. Whoever's got power 50 years ago, like NBA players, corporations, has more power today. The money siphons up to the top. People don't like seizing control and power. So Rich Paul, cover of SI. Just watching Dustin Johnson. Tiger's not teeing off for about 4 hours. So Tiger is teeing off at 2-something. So that's over 4 hours from now. It's great to have you in today. It really is. I love doing these radio shows only. I just absolutely love them. This is going to be such a
great weekend. You're
very relaxed. Well, I don't have to wear makeup. I didn't shave this morning. Not wearing pants. It's no big deal. I love this. We do have a camera in the studio. What is this for?
Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.
Facebook. Oh, it's digital. Yeah, all right. Well, who the hell cares? It doesn't even... Listen, the ghost of Casey Kasem's hovering over me. I'm a radio guy today. That's how I feel. It's fan. There's pictures all over this building of radio icons. Rush, George Nouri does the overnight UFO stuff. Then you got Delilah, and then you got Seacrest.
It's intimidating.
It's very intimidating. And who's the other guy? Oh, Bobby Bones is a big star down in Nashville. Yeah, he's huge. And nothing to me. They got there's a soda can. There's a framed picture of a soda can. That's me. Nothing here for me. I tell you, just drives me. So what? I mean, the pecking order, I'm not even in the order. I'm an old end table. Hour two next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This still counts as Los Angeles, right, where we're at in this studio? It's not Burbank. It's like close to Sherman Oaks, which means nothing to our national audience.
It is Sherman Oaks.
I'm in Sherman Oaks right now. Where are the Oaks? I saw nothing but buildings. I didn't see an oak once when I took the exit. We're in the valley. So we're next to the oaks in the valley. I didn't see a valley. I didn't see any oaks. This is Los Angeles. I saw buildings. Good to have you in. We've all heard the term risk and reward, right? We all know what that means. And the KD situation, you know what it is? All the KD backers, even my buddy Chris Haynes, they want the reward. They don't want the risk. Does everybody get, if KD would have come back, and this is what KD was thinking about. This is why KD tuned out people. If KD comes back and they overcome a 3-1 deficit, it changes his legacy forever. He is in the LeBron pantheon. Like there was a reward for this move. This was not leading 3-1. I don't think KD comes back leading 3-1. I don't. I wouldn't have advised it. trailing 3-1, risk is you re-injure it. Reward is nobody can ever say you're not needed in Golden State. Don't invest if you're afraid to lose your money. That's why there's a rule in investing. Everybody never invests with somebody that doesn't have skin in the game. Like the rich kids, like the rich kid whose dad is rich, so he's just using his dad's money in an investment. Never invest with that guy. Got to have skin in the game. If it's your dad's money, I'm not going into business with you. Is it your money? You're like, that's because as an investor, I want you to know that you and I both could lose our own money. So if we have the fear of losing our money, oh, that's scary. You're going to work the extra hours. Yeah, you're losing dad's money. It's not, trust fund kids, don't invest with them. And this whole situation is, what we want with NBA players, and we don't do this with NFL players. There is no term playing hurt in the NFL. It's just playing. Everybody's hurt all the time. Week two, everybody's hurt. Baseball guys, I mean, 162 games. Are you kidding? You think they're feeling great in June? Hockey guys, honestly, they're checking each other into the boards. Game 9 NHL season, you wake up sore. It's just the way it is. You're pulling stuff. It's the world's greatest hockey players. You're not healthy at the All-Star break in any sport. And so there's a lot of coddling of NBA players. I think it's patronizing. They're grown-ups. They're smart guys. They know their brand. They know the risk. Don't insinuate Kevin Durant can't figure out the risk. Kevin Durant's smart. He knew the risk. John Wall has been going out on the floor for the last several years, not 100%. He knew the risk. Once he signed the big fat contract, he was willing to play hurt, and then he really got hurt. John Wall, he'd sit out games. Once John got the money, John's like, I'm going to go for it. And Kevin Durant's got $150, $200 million net worth. He's made 6 or 7 massive Silicon Valley investments. Kevin doesn't need the money. Kevin's set for the rest of his life. But, you know, I think a lot of the NBA, the media in the NBA tends to pander, and I think a lot of it is because they don't want to lose access. There's like 7 stars in the NBA. You got to have their phone number. And in the NFL, you know, you can get information from anybody. But in the NBA, media people, you got to have Jimmy Butler's number. You got to have LeBron or Rich Paul. I'm lucky I got Rich. You got to have like certain access to people or you don't get information. But the reality is it's called risk and reward. There was a huge reward for Kevin Durant here playing. Massive. Massive. Just as big a reward in Silicon Valley when he puts $4 million down on an IPO. There's a big, by the way, Uber. Uber IPO, bombed. A lot of money on the Uber IPO, bombed. Most IPOs don't bomb. Some do. Generally, stars come back. Kirk Gibson, Tiger Woods, they don't re-injure themselves. Sometimes they do. But, you know, there was a reward with the risk. If Kevin would have come back 3-1 lead, I would have said and got hurt, I would have said, that's just stupid. That's dumb. Like, Kevin was wrong and the Warriors should have just said, you can't, we're not giving you a uniform. But I get coming back 3-1 trailing. Because when I watched that first quarter and Kevin was the best player on the floor, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, didn't you think after watching that first quarter, oh, this changes everything. Changes the whole series. Marc Gasol's now got to go out and defend. They go from a great, invulnerable defensive team to a massive problem. Kevin spaces the floor. So, you know, you just, I think it's my biggest complaint with this whole thing. The only thing that really is bothering me is that Steve Kerr has an opinion about everything. Politics, life, Trump, everything. And then after the injury, go talk to Bob Myers. It doesn't work that way. You can't go silent on me. You talk about everything all the time. And by the way, I like your politics. I like your Twitter. I like all of it. I like Steve. I don't know him great, but I like him. And I tend to kind of align with him politically, which is always, you know, you kind of curry favor with people you agree with. But the point is, Steve's got an opinion on everything. And then with Kevin Durant, the world's biggest star, I got nothing. Go over there. That guy's talking. Now, Steve Kerr did talk yesterday about Kevin Durant's injury.
Kevin checked all the boxes and he was cleared to play by everybody involved. Now, would we go back and do it over again? Damn right. But that's easy to say after the results. When we gathered all the information, our feeling was the worst thing that could happen would be a re-injury of the calf. I don't know what else to add to that other than, Had we known that this was a possibility, that this was even in the realm of possibility, there's no way we ever would have allowed Kevin to come back.
Listen, it's just the whole thing stinks. But like I said yesterday, you're a hypocrite if you say, I get goosebumps with Kirk Gibson, and then simultaneously you say, Kevin Durant shouldn't be out there. Wrong. You can't do it. If you're getting goosebumps on Michael Jordan's flu game, I go to YouTube and watch Kirk Gibson's home run five times a year. You know, we love, by the way, I got incredibly emotional watching Tiger Woods win the Masters. Why? Because I knew what he was overcoming. I'd watched Tiger for 4 years come back to tournaments, fall apart physically. So why am I getting emotional sitting there, you know, watching Tiger at the Masters? Because of the injuries. So don't be a hypocrite and say you love those, which I do, and then say Kevin shouldn't have played. If Kevin would have stayed the rest of the series and won it, this would be an all-timer. We would be talking about this 30 years from now, the Kevin Durant series. This was a game changer to his legacy. So you can't have it both ways. And I'm consistent on this. I like my athletes to come back injured. I've done a show with a hangover. You know what? That's life. It's not called playing hurt. It's called, yeah, tomorrow. I'm going to be bombed tonight with Mark Willard. Listen, last night was just hockey and Phil Steele, College Football Magazine. That was tame. Tonight, it is no coasters. It is a rooftop Manhattan Beach. Crazy town is what it is. Just crazy town. All right, how much time? Oh, 30 seconds, so I don't have time to do anything interesting here. Okay, final hour is coming up in a small studio near oak trees in a valley in California. That is where we are. This is the former home of the great Casey Kasem. Grew up listening to Casey Kasem in college, and he used to do a show from here. Kind of cool. Hour 3 on a Thursday. Love the Raptors tonight. Coming up, this is The Herd.